Warren Buffett doesn't hand out compliments lightly, yet he called this book a gift to us all. Why would the Oracle of Omaha say that about a memoir from Bill Gates Sr., a Seattle lawyer most people have never heard of? Because buried in these pages is something rare, a blueprint for how ordinary acts of presence compound into extraordinary impact. While his son revolutionized how we use computers, Gates Sr. quietly revolutionized how we think about giving, helping build the world's largest private foundation not through flashy gestures, but through a lifetime of simply showing up. The question isn't whether you have billions to give, it's whether you're willing to be consistently present for what matters. Receiving a YMCA award, Gates Sr. had an uncomfortable realization. His success came from just showing up, not brilliance or strategy, showing up. Starting in the 1950s, he joined boards, committees, and school levy campaigns, sometimes because he cared, sometimes because it annoyed him when others didn't bother. His Boy Scout leader, Dorm Brayman, embodied this principle spectacularly, guiding 20 teenagers through 3 summers of building an entire lodge. Most meaningful contributions don't come from occasional heroism, but from steady commitment, the kind that makes you drive to the office at 83 because you've built a life around engagement. At 16, Gates Sr. received an extraordinary gift, a 1930 Model A Ford Roadster costing $85, serious money then. The giver? His sister Merity, who'd never been allowed to learn driving because their father believed girls don't need to drive. She bought her brother something she'd been denied, spending money she could barely spare, without resentment. That's moral architecture. Some people who've suffered seem determined everyone else must too. Merity gave freely what she'd never received. True generosity means giving without keeping score. Gates Sr.'s father clung to rigid beliefs like, girls don't go to college, while his mother remained open-minded, teaching him that open-mindedness is a moral necessity. His basketball coach, Ken Wills, hosted weekly discussions questioning assumptions. Professor William Wilson demanded evidence-based opinions. At 74, Rockefeller Foundation staff praised Gates Sr. as a gracious, intelligent man who hadn't made his mind up about everything yet. During 1944 military service, walking through devastated Tokyo after Japan's surrender, encountering children asking for candy and adults resuming daily life, Gates Sr. recognized our common humanity. Fixed beliefs offer comfort. Open minds make us human. Returning from World War II, Gates Sr. watched Senator McCarthy destroy lives through communist witch hunts. Having witnessed Nazi suppression of civil rights, he and fellow veterans organized to overturn a campus ban on political speeches. Years later, he observed Jimmy Carter masterfully address uncomfortable truths in Nigeria, where HIV/AIDS discussion was taboo. Carter boldly discussed condoms in public forums and church sermons using shocking language to break through denial. Speaking out requires character, forged through failure. When his best friend defeated him for student body president, Gates Sr. sulked before finally congratulating him, learning there's no place for poor losers. Betraying a friend's confidence cost him a friendship, teaching that trustworthiness needs no written contracts. These lessons seem simple until pride is wounded. Then they become everything. Gates Sr. found deep satisfaction in law, not manipulating statutes, but creating a just society. Starting modestly in Bremerton, he learned careers unfold at their own pace. Even difficult experiences, like working with a brilliant but impossible partner, taught him to consider opponents' viewpoints. Legal work's impact became vivid through cases like Amina Lawal in Nigeria, sentenced to death under Sharia law for having a child out of wedlock. Thanks to worldwide legal advocacy, she was freed. Asked about dreams for her daughter, she hoped the girl would become a lawyer. That's legacy. Family life flourished through Mary's genius for making connection fun, organizing card games with dishwashing stakes, creating homemade Christmas cards, hosting structured holiday parties where even introverts could socialize comfortably. Her public service grew from tutoring students to serving nearly two decades as a University of Washington regent, eventually leading United Way locally, nationally, and internationally. After World War II, Gates Sr. asked his friend Mary Maxwell to set him up with a tall sorority sister. When Mary suggested herself, he bluntly said she was too short. He was 6'7", she was 5'6". Mary stood on tiptoes. "I'm not short. Look, I'm tall." They married 2 years later. She shared this story with young people, encouraging them to never be afraid to think big, a philosophy she lived completely. Mary's gift was genuine interest in everyone, spending more time asking about others than discussing herself, remembering previous conversations, making people feel valued. She quickly recognized talents and connected those who could accomplish more together. Organizations improving millions of cancer patients' lives exist partly because Mary brought their founders together. Her enthusiasm was infectious, like convincing everyone to stay up all night at a friend's farm just to watch sunrise. That sense of fun led to profound connections, like immediately hosting Warren Buffett and Katharine Graham to meet her son, beginning an extraordinary friendship. While children learn by watching parents, we learn by observing our kids. From daughter Christy, Gates Sr. learned about competence. She was meticulous and self-disciplined. From son Trey, he learned childhood curiosity can last forever. An avid reader who loved libraries, Trey wanted to learn about everything. They nurtured this by limiting television but allowing unlimited books, even relaxing bedtime for reading. From daughter Libby, he learned about confidence and heart, a gifted athlete who played goalie, taking pressure in stride. The family tradition that most shaped these children started in 1957 at Hood Canal, where they gathered with six families, eventually growing to 11 families, spending 2 weeks together annually. Each family showcased talents through tennis tournaments, Olympic-style games, parades, and evening campfires. Children learned about healthy marriages, different family styles, discovering talents, and perseverance. Decades later, those children recreate these experiences with their own families. The Hood Canal gatherings taught something schools couldn't, how commitment to community creates belonging that transcends individual achievement. The most destructive four-letter word isn't shocking. It's mine. When we succeed, we credit only ourselves, overlooking our debt to society. Gates' senior son succeeded not just through intellect, but by being born where education and initiative are valued. Born in Pakistan's mountains or Darfur, Microsoft wouldn't exist. About half our GDP growth over 50 years comes from government investment in basic research. The human genome, integrated circuits, the internet, all originated from government-funded discoveries. This brings us to a more powerful word, ours. When Bill and Melinda asked, "Dad, maybe we could do something about this," after reading about preventable diseases killing children, vaccines became a foundation cornerstone. In Bangladesh, Gates Sr. witnessed mothers walking 20 miles with children to reach vaccination sites and met Dr. Bill Foge, who grew up poor, dreaming of serving in Africa, and became the epidemiologist who helped eradicate smallpox. The shift from mine to ours isn't about guilt. It's about recognizing that every achievement rests on invisible infrastructure built by countless others, and our highest calling is adding our own stones to that foundation. Nobel Prize-winning poet Pablo Neruda experienced something transformative as a boy in southern Chile. Through a fence hole, a stranger's hand left a worn toy sheep. Touched, Neruda placed his own treasure in the hole. Years later, he wrote that while love from those we know feeds our life, affection from strangers widens out the boundaries of our being and unites all living things. Rotary clubs proved this fighting polio in 1985. Over a million Rotarians from 140 countries committed to creating a polio-free world. Worldwide cases have declined 99%. It begins with showing up. Not occasionally, but consistently, open-hearted, ready to be present. Your presence compounds, your attention ripples, your steady commitment builds lodges that stand for generations and friendships that carry you through loss. The question isn't whether you have resources to change the world. It's whether you're willing to show up for your corner of it day after day. Gates Saar discovered this through decades of quiet consistency, attending meetings, supporting causes, being there for family and strangers who became friends. The extraordinary emerges from ordinary people who refuse to underestimate the power of simply being present.